Well, welcome to this edition of the Justice Team podcast. That was Policy Opener by the very angelic voice of Jenny England, one of our partners. Very, very beautiful, sultry voice. So this is, we're going to be talking about social media law, influencer law, and a thing called internet law. So we brought in some specialists here today to talk about this nuance, and this is going to be one of the biggest sections of law, in my opinion, coming out in the near future as we move forward into the digital age even further. So without further ado, here are our guests today. We have Tally Goody from the Goody Law Group. Tally comes from Thomas Jefferson Law School in San Diego. I think I have three partners of our firm from that location and probably more. Actually, my dad met his current wife at Thomas Jefferson. So yeah, we have strong ties with that law school. So Tally has her own firm located in the South Bay in California and handles personal injury cases. She also has all the startup compliance documents for the Justice HQ members. Thank you for being here, Tally. And as you might see her on social media, she's known as a TikTok influencer, gets over 1 million views on posts and things like that. So Tally, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And we have Rais Mohammed coming from another state. He's coming from sunny Arizona. And he's also a professor at the Sandra O'Connor College of Law and teaches the same topic that we're going to be talking about. Interesting, you know, we talk a lot about personal injury cases, employment cases, sex abuse, these types of things. But Rais is going to be talking about, you know, what he does for a living is representing entrepreneurs, talking, you know, influencers, social media people, what it is to be defamed in the digital space and how you handle this. And Rais, thank you for coming on first and foremost. So first thing I want to talk to you about is, even though you are in Arizona, how are you able to practice law for all of us? I mean, eventually, if we start our own law firms and get into the space, we are a startup, right? I mean, that's what we really are. You know, how are you able to practice across the nation doing the space that you're in?
Thanks for having me on today. Excited to chat with you both. So a couple of things. The first way we're able to handle matters and advise clients nationally is because we have a network of local counsel. So if the matter should require local counsel, particularly if it's litigation or if it's a complex transaction and we have to consult with local counsel, that's what we do. But otherwise, especially in the internet practice, e-commerce, everything's online and lots of federal issues. There may be some local state issues. And we try to be the experts on the e-commerce, internet law sorts of issues. So that's kind of our expertise. And that's why we have the ability to help people nationally.
Yeah, so I asked you another question. I did a cyber stalk of you and you play the guitar. I mean, so I got to ask you, seems like you're into bass. Is Les Claypool like the best bass player ever, or who's it got to be?
So that's a great question. You know, I play bass and electric, and I've played in bands where I played both before. Les Claypool is an amazing bass guitar player. That guy is just super gnarly, mutant genius bass guitar player. If you've ever seen him, have you ever seen them play live before?
Never live. I'm not a live concert person. This COVID area is very nice for me because I don't want to be around a whole mix of people, right?
Yeah. I don't even know if Primus plays live anymore, but definitely one of the greatest. I think Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is also just an amazing bass guitar player. Just very melodious, just very freeform funk bass, you know, amazing guy. But yeah, one of my pastimes for sure.
What about the president of the United States of America? They did everything on three strings, two strings, one string, no strings. I forget how that goes. Whatever.
You're right. A distorted bass guitar, I think, with three strings. And I'm not a huge fan of their style, but, you know, I get it.
Yeah. So they have one song. It's called Kitty, Do You Want to Go Outside? And Tally, you have a kitty. What's your kitty's name?
I have two kitties. I have one that's, his name's Boss, but we call him Big Boy. And then I have a little one. We call her a little girl, but her name's actually Nala. They're really cute.
Very nice. So, Tally, first thing, a lot of our listeners probably looking up you right now, Tally Goody, T-A-L-Y. Give us your contact information for people that want to reach out, because I know you offer a lot of advice. You do mentoring sessions. You do, you're coming out with like a law school, which people can just log in to learn about stuff. Give us your contact information, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So my email is Tally, T-A-L-Y, at goodylawgroup.com. And I'm also on Instagram. You can find me at Tally Goody. And I also have my firm Instagram, which is at Goody Law Group.
So Tally, people are probably looking you up right now on social media, on the gram or on TikTok. First of all, what's your handle? Is it a handle on TikTok? How's that go?
Yeah, it's also called a handle. So my handle on TikTok is at Tally Goody. And my Instagram handle is at Tally Goody. And I have a Goody Law Group account as well.
Perfect. So best way to reach you is just slide into your DMs, right?
You know, you'd slide into my DMs, but I actually like email better because sometimes I miss my DMs. There's sometimes a lot and there's junk and I just skip through it. So email me, Tally, T-A-L-Y, at goodylawgroup.com.
All right. So Tally, one thing that our listeners are probably going to know is, you know, you do a lot of mentoring. You're out there teaching law. I think you have a law class coming out, lecture series. How does that generate income? And what is your plan to do so with that? Just for our listeners so they understand the plan.
Sure. So I do host, recently I've been hosting maybe once a month sessions called Legal Chat. We don't charge students. They just kind of come on. It's for free. We're just paying it forward. And we're doing a law school class this Saturday, which is also free. So basically all my, you know, my volunteer work is, we don't charge. It's mostly just, hey, we want to help you. But ultimately I've recently been noticing that I've been getting some clients from that because they'll be reaching out to me either for themselves or for their parents. So I recently have a client who was in a trip and fall and she found me on TikTok. So she reached out to me and I took her case. And the same thing a few months ago, two daughters reached out because their dads had just previously gotten into a car crash. So it's kind of cool. I mean, just putting myself out there on TikTok, I'm meeting a lot of people. They might not all be, you know, necessarily adults. They might be in their teens or in college students, but I think overall I've been getting a good reach of people that way.
And do you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
I think I'm an ambivert. Have you heard of that? A mixture.
No.
An ambivert it's definitely me because I don't think I'm fully an extrovert. I can be shy sometimes depending on my like surroundings and how I'm feeling. But sometimes if I'm like, you know, just feeling really good, I'm really extroverted, I guess. So ambivert's like a mixture depending on your environment.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think you were one of the first lawyers I saw in the space on TikTok. What made you get into that transition? And was it a calculated decision to do it to break in to start getting cases and get notoriety from it?
So I think when I started, it was about a couple months after I started my firm. So I started my firm back in 2019. And then a few months after that, I was told, hey, TikTok's a good outlet. It's like new and coming. You should check it out. And a lot of people were scared to get on there because you're kind of, you know, you think of TikTok as you're just dancing videos, nothing like super substantive. So I was like, well, I'll go check it out. And initially I went on there purely for advertisement or marketing. But then naturally and organically, it transformed into this new passion where I'm doing more of a mentoring role. So in addition to, you know, throwing in some personal injury information on there, I'm mostly really mentoring law students and aspiring lawyers to get to where they want to be.
Yeah. So Rice, let's talk about with you, you know, you represent a lot of entrepreneurs, influencers, and you've also done multi-billion dollar deals on the transaction, you know, doing the rights and things like that with this. So first of all, we hear this word internet law. Just explain for our listeners and viewers what that means so we can kind of break it down and best understand how you fit into our lives.
Yeah. The best way to describe internet law is it's the body of legal issues that you encounter when you're doing business on the internet. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of existing law, like intellectual property, copyright law, trademark law, contract law, corporate law, defamation law, right? And so it's sort of an arrangement, or if you will, a compilation of the types of issues that people face operating on the internet. That's probably the best way to describe what it is.
Yeah, so when you're talking about e-commerce as it pertains to internet law, educate our listeners what that means and how people are moving goods and kind of what are some of the rules and pitfalls we have to look for.
Yeah, absolutely. So e-commerce is one of my favorite areas to advise clients because for some reason, Bob, for whatever reason, people think if you're doing it online, you can do whatever the hell you want, right? You can say what you want, you can show what you want, you can take what you want, you can do whatever you want, and it's the wild, wild west. And so that's when clients come to us and, or, you know, if they're wise, they come to us, or, you know, it's too late and somebody's reached them and then they come to us, right? It's a dispute or FTC's after them. And we got to make sure that they're doing things above board, right? And so e-commerce rule number one, if you've got a website, for example, and your primary sales channel is your website, do you have proper terms to engage your users? And the most common reaction I get is, or I ripped it off of Facebook, or I ripped it off of iTunes, or they have the best lawyers, right? I'm like, who's been hit with FTC fines more than anybody else? Let me think. Oh, Facebook, you took it from them? Perfect, right? And so people just have this tendency to be fast and loose. And so we come in and we make sure specifically, for example, if you have a website, an online platform, we'll make sure that your terms actually say what you desired them to say, right? And that you're using information relating to privacy in the proper way. You've got the right disclaimers, et cetera. And the influencer part is, you know, I can talk about that if you want. The influencer part is really, really interesting. And that's really been picking up fire in the last year or two, I'd say.
Yeah. So I'm going to go over to Tally. So let's say, you know, give me some legal products that you would not mind being the spokesperson of.
You know, I've been reached out to a lot for random products and I'm just like, it just doesn't really match my vibe, you know? So I've had to turn things down. But you know, if there's an app that could be something useful, or if there's something like JHQ, for example, like a workspace, you know, I think that there's things that I can actually truly say can relate to my life versus just, hey, here's a pill, like vitamins. You know, I just don't think that would be something I want to partner with.
So let's say hypothetically, a web developer came to you and say, we're going to do this app about more direct mentorship of being able to do it quickly, efficiently, so you can reach a broader audience to help them create their own law firms, understand the law and how to work with it. Brace, if they come to her with that idea and they say, all right, we're going to give you Tally Goody in exchange for you doing this 10% of our company. What are the pitfalls? What does she have to look out for if she's posting on behalf of this company? What are the rules, man?
Yeah, I love this question because it touches so many different areas. There's like a 10 plus issue checklist, right? So right off the bat, number one thing to nail down is what is the, like if I'm representing Tally, I'm going to say, what's your compensation scheme? Like what actually are you getting paid and is it documented well? If it's equity, is it contingent equity? Is it fully vested? Is it dilutable, right? So this is where we get into the corporate law side of things where people just, I've seen compensation statements that even if they're in writing, they're one or two lines long, right? And they're not as sophisticated as they should be. What happens if the company gets shut down? Is there a minimum? Is it a hybrid where it's purely equity? Is there cash involved? You know, if you're an equity holder, do you have any decision-making capacity? Can you approve your likeness and your use of your image in any sort of advertisement, or are you beholden to the brand and they can use you however they want and you have no moral rights, as we call them in copyright law? So that's, you know, one set of issues. Then you get to, you know, the promotional advertising type of issues, which, FTC problems are all over, you know, potentially all over this, which is, are you deceptively marketing this app, right? And we could talk about celebrities and all the problems they've had with deceptive marketing on Instagram, et cetera, but how is this being launched? And launched, what are the risks to Tally if she's the face of this? And does she get to screen, especially if she's a lawyer, right? Does she get to screen the representations that the app is making prior to her saying them publicly?
Yeah. So is Tally able to, every time she makes a post on behalf of this fictional theoretical thing that we're talking about, does she have to say, I own 10% of this company?
Yeah, great question. So FTC disclosures technically require you to disclose every material connection that you have to the brand, right? So the way you would do it is you would say, for example, I'm a paid partner. You would use the hashtag, you know, I'm a compensated person. This is not a neutral review. So outwardly, we might look at it and say, hey, we love Tally. We love, you know, her brand. And we're going to use this app just because Tally's using it. In reality, she actually is getting compensated, right? So that has to be disclosed. And the interesting thing is how you do it sometimes is not always clear. You know, we see influencers that just have a hashtag in a video that disappears, actually doesn't comply with FTC disclosure requirements. It has to be static. So you can use like the description in a post if you want to say, you know, hashtag paid partner or promo or ad. And then if Tally has like actually has a website where she promotes this or vice versa, the brand has Tally on their website, they should say that Tally is a paid, you know, endorser of this, right? Just like you would with any brand deal and make it clear. And this is where it's the Wild West, man. I mean, people are just making all sorts of mistakes. Every day I'm going through Instagram or TikTok and I'm just like.
Well, Rice, can you just put it on? Could Tally just put on her bio of her Instagram page, I am a paid partner or ownership interest or equity in XYZ companies? Is that static enough? Is that disclosure enough to satisfy?
Good question. She should do that for sure, but she should also do it in every iteration of video or imagery that she uses. And the nice thing about Instagram is you have this description area, and I tell people use it. That's what it's for. And there are FTC cases where, I mean, the FTC has said if it appears and then disappears, it doesn't meet the requirements of adequate disclosure. Mm-hmm. So it has to be per each posting or image or video, which raises the question, right? If you're doing a story, stories, they come and they disappear. How are you doing that?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, how can the FTC, I mean, the whole thing in and of itself disappears. So, all right, Tally, I'm going to pivot. We'll get back to this topic because it's very interesting to me and a lot of people that are out there. Like I get asked for companies all the time, hey, can you do a testimonial? And if I'm not getting, correct me wrong, if I'm not getting paid for it, you don't have to disclose shit, right?
If it's honest and you use the product, you know, they send you, I know you're a whiskey guy or a cigar guy, they send you a bottle. If you drank it, you liked it, you can give a testimonial, but you can't be deceptive about it. If you never tried this and they're like, hey, dude, you know, we'll send you a really nice Christmas card just and a gift certificate on Amazon. Just say you liked it. You have the persona we like. We're marketing to lawyers who drink. Like just do us a favor. Can't really do that. Or if it's your brother's company, right, or your cousin's company, you have to disclose those material connections.
Yeah, so Tally, just so everybody knows, she enjoys scotch more than almost anybody I know. So she's been drinking brown liquor before I have, because she's been drinking since she's probably 2 years old.
That is now something I would definitely partner with, a nice scotch. That would be a good one.
Yeah, so let's keep it hypothetical. So, Tally, what's your favorite scotch?
Macallan.
All right, so
12, that's minimum. You know, the higher the year, the better.
So, for our listeners and viewers, you know where to send Tally Goody to her law office, any bottle of Macallan. Now, I was not paid for it. I don't like Macallan. It's not my thing. So, I've disclosed my potential financial interest. But if they're just sent, so if Macallan reaches out to Tally and says, we'll give you $5,000 to post on your TikTok how much you love Macallan, what does she have to do?
Yeah, so she should say, you know, that she is a Macallan brand ambassador right there on her profile. Even if her entire profile is not dedicated to Macallan, she should put it somewhere in her profile description. And then with every post she does, she should say, you know, hashtag paid promo or hashtag brand ambassador. And that's a surefire way to at least, you know, make sure that there's a paper trail that you can prove. If the FTC were to ever ask, you could say, here's a screenshot.
Wow.
Side note, have you guys seen the Macallan Instagram commercials? They are ridiculous. You have to go look at them if you haven't seen them.
I have not. They're good. They're funny. They're entertaining.
No, they're just so cheesy. They're bad. I mean, I still love the drink, but.
You know what? You talk about targeted Instagram marketing. I have not seen a single Macallan's, but you have.
It's in a market, apparently, right?
What photos are you liking on Instagram, Tally? Jeez.
No, they're listening to me talk about McAllen at 5 p.m., pouring a glass, and then like, okay, put it on her sponsored. I don't need it.
Let's not say 5 o'clock, Tally. I've been over your house with your husband, and it's like 11 a.m.
I was having a scotch.
That was coffee. That's a different brown liquid.
So, Tally, tell us about the you and your husband, Grayson, are putting on like a series for law students. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So actually, it's this Saturday. We're hosting a mock law school class, and we're really excited. The way we kind of came about the idea was we did a TikTok live together, kind of like Instagram live. And we had a bunch of people on there and we were just chatting and someone brought it up and was like, you guys should host a law school class. And I'm like, that's a great idea because that's something that I've never really heard of anyone doing that before. Because you see people doing webinars and educational things, but not like an actual, here we go, here's the material, prepare and we're going to meet this day and let's go for it. So we have about 500 people.
Wow.
So we dedicated like about 100 people to be actively participating and then the rest will just be watching as an observer.
So this isn't like Trump University or anything, right?
Real?
It's real. Well, you know, as real as it can get. But
how do people, if they want to register or participate, how do they do it?
So what I did, which is a newbie thing, and I'm going to improvise this for the next time, but I just had them email me. And that was kind of a nightmare because I had to go through every single email and make it a spreadsheet. And that took me a week to do, going through like 500 emails. And then I had to like create a response back to them. And then sometimes I had to follow up with them. So I'm definitely looking into new things to help organize that and kind of keep track of people. And Bob, you've mentioned some of that to me, some of the tools.
Yeah. HubSpot, any CRM. And these are things that Rais can help you with, like, because I pick his brain a lot on this, you know, being a lawyer for entrepreneurs, being in e-commerce, you know, startup law, just these type of hacks and how to be a consultant from the inception on. So Rais, first of all, how do our listeners, we have a lot of people that are listening through the internet on, you know, through Apple, through iTunes, how do they find you? What's the best way to find you?
Yeah. So I like Tally, we're on social media. I have personal accounts, but I also have law firm accounts. You can feel free to DM us on any of the social. It's RM, my initials, Werner Law. And that, I think it's pretty much a standard handle we use across all platforms. That's one way. The other way is to go to our website, rmwernerlaw.com, and we have a contact us intake. And if you fill that out, you can actually give us more of your information, what your issues are, what your question is, and it comes straight to us. And that's probably one of the quicker ways as well.
Tally, just a philosophical question. And I mean, law school now and formal education is so expensive, you know, 40 grand a year for tuition, and it prices a lot of people out of it. Do you see a path using these channels to have, I mean, people are willing to give their time, like all of us here on this podcast, freely give it to everyone. And I know Rais is, he teaches at, I think you're adjunct at Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. Is there a path to do free education for law students?
I think that there could be, and that's interesting. And you mean like to actually get a JD, like free education?
I don't know if it'd be recognized. I don't know if it'd be recognized, but it'd be enough to, I mean, people could learn the law by going to YouTube or going to these classes enough to maybe even pass the bar. I mean, most of everything that I learned as a practicing lawyer was not learned in law school. That was the logic part of it. It was actually not going to law review. It was, you know, practicing to actually do it. I mean, it's just fascinating. The whole concept of what you're talking about makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons, especially for different things. But Rais, we're going to pivot over to another hypothetical. Okay. Barbary comes to Tally. And Barbary says, I like what you're doing with the law students. We want to help prepare them for the bar because now they can take the bar without having to go to law school. So Tally, we're going to give you stock options for Barbary, where we're going to compensate you for directing your students to use Barbary for their prep.
Hmm.
What pitfalls are we looking at?
Man, cash those checks, man. That is a good deal. I haven't signed up for that. Jeez, give me 1%. You know, give me some options. No, I think material connect, there is definitely a material connection. I think that's a black and white rule of the FTC. How do you clearly and conspicuously disclose that as you're talking to students, right? Barbary sets up booths, for example, at law schools, or they may ask you to go on a speaking campaign and they pay to, you know, to have you travel around. You're promoting Barbary. In some way, you have to clearly and conspicuously disclose that. And the how we do it is sometimes a gray area, just like this Instagram stuff. The how to didn't really come about until the first few enforcement actions. And so we know there's a material connection. We know that it has to be disclosed. How do you disclose that is the question. If you were just wearing the Barbary shirt, let's say, and you went to like a bar meeting, let's say, you know, a Southern California bar meeting, or like a law student get together, and you're talking about, you know, the best programs, you may not necessarily have to disclose it at that time, except until you utter that, hey, you should sign up, or, you know, you should take this program. In other words, just wearing the insignia and showing up publicly doesn't mean you have to disclose anything. But if you're promoting it, yeah, you have to. You have to make the disclosure somehow. Question is how? How in a way that will satisfy the FTC and the DOJ, right?
So if I said, I'm using this remarkable notepad for my conversation today. I mean, I'm just showing it, but I'm not endorsed or anything. That's okay, right? You just show it.
Yeah. I mean, but are in this hypothetical, are you, you know, a paid campaigner for that notepad that you just showed, or?
I'm not, but say hypothetically I am. They have to disclose it.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a half. I would say if the FTC came at you, right, I would say Mr. Simon's defense is like, he wasn't promoting anything. He just happened to flash it on the screen real quick. And it wasn't a campaign. He wasn't required to do it. He hardly even mentioned it. It's like if you see the edge of my drink and you say, that's a rock star. And I'm a paid promoter for Rockstar, but I just happened to be drinking it and put it down. I guess you could argue that's product placement, right? I mean, that's a sponsorship opportunity. By the way, this exact hypothetical is happening on Instagram, and it is a gray area, right? Like there are people who get paid to promote Bang Energy. Or any energy drink. And sometimes they forget that they're an influencer being paid and they consume the product anyway. It could be a tea, it could be a facial cream, it could be a shampoo. And they're showing it in their personal life. But in that case, you have to disclose it. So you have to use the standard disclaimers. I mean, there's some big FTC cases on this stuff where some big people, you know, DJ Khaled got hit, Cardi B's gotten hit, like big people. DJ Khaled, when he was first endorsing Chirac vodka, right? The guy was always holding a vodka bottle and like, drink Chirac, right? And I think he was one of the first major influencers to get hit by the FTC and like, hey, bro, did you disclose that you're actually getting paid to push that to all your peeps? I guess not, right? And there's so many that, you know, the cosmetics industry, don't even get me started, right? And right now we're just talking about disclosures, but what about claims? Right. So if you're in the beauty industry and you're making these claims like, oh, look at my beautiful skin. You know, I use XYZ product and, you know, I'm 39. I don't have a wrinkle to my face. And this product right here is going to keep you wrinkle free. Is there substantiation for that? Is that an opinion? Is that object? I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
My wife owns a skincare brand and they go through a lot of research and development to be able to make those claims, to go through a lot of processes. And it is a big, I mean, big, you know, overtaking. But what if Tally got like just a tattoo on her neck that says, you know, I'm endorsed by XYZ. And if she just happens to have it in the frame all the time, that's pretty static, I think.
You know, I would say Tally should get an asterisk tattoo next to that. And then she should get a sleeve tat that says paid endorser for, you know, XYZ. It's really interesting. I think the more technology evolves and the more people get, you know, social media is just ubiquitous, right? There's app after app. I mean, TikTok, you've got a minute of content. Sometimes it's as short as 15 seconds. How do you put that out there? How do you comply with the FTC requirements, right? And how do you make sure? And here's the thing. The brand and the influencer both are on the hook for lack of compliance.
Wow.
You can't say, yeah, this was some 20-year-old. We had no idea what he or she was saying. You know, we had it in our contract. It's not our fault. doesn't work like that. So now you have sort of the supervisory obligation almost over all the content.
I'm going to pivot to the last topic we're going to talk about, and that's going to be internet defamation. Okay. So Tally, you know, you're out there, you're getting over 1 million views on these different platforms. Tell us some of the dark things or the weird things. Like, if you've noticed, like on our Justice Team YouTube page, the most viewed ones are like people that have a foot fetish and they like zoom in on people's feet. It's weird. So we have to delete all these comments. And this, though it's crazy. Like, ask Teresa. It's so give me some examples of stuff that you've encountered and how you have to deal with it.
Honestly, I usually don't encounter anything too crazy unless a video goes viral. Honestly, once a video goes viral, which has happened to me like maybe 4 or 5 times, like really viral, that's when I'll start getting like weird comments, a lot of mean, hateful comments too. And I'm like, man, these people are really angry and I don't know why they're so angry at me, you know? They'll be like, you're what's wrong in this world about being like a personal injury lawyer. I'm like, okay. And then like ambulance chaser, ambulance chaser, ambulance chaser, clown, clown, clown. That's literally like, I'll get 1 million comments like that and people will like it all. And I'm like, okay, you don't even know me, first of all. So there's a lot of hate out there. I haven't seen so much of the obsession. I don't really see that for me. I don't know why, but yeah, I mean, there is some dark stuff out there. A lot of bullying on comments and posts.
Yeah. So Rice, you deal with a lot with this online defamation. I mean, if Tally starts getting somebody that's really threatening or putting out false thing or doing remakes for a video and it's really affecting her business and image, how does she handle these things?
Yeah. So this is a bigger problem than people realize. I think Tally is probably seeing a sliver of it, right? But it really depends on what the nature of the communication is and how significant it is. You're putting yourself out there. Anytime you do any kind of marketing, you know, you're putting yourself out there. You're guaranteed. It's just a question of numbers. Statistically, you're more likely than not to have somebody be a hater. The question is, what are they doing? In some instances, I'll give you a great example. Most common inquiry, right? I'm a doctor, dentist, or lawyer. We love picking on those three people. Three of us here fall in that one category of lawyers. We have a review page, right, of our firm. Or maybe it's on Facebook, maybe it's Google reviews. And somebody says, Tally, you know, I watched her videos on TikTok. I actually hired her one time and she sucks. She got $1,000 for, you know, net recovery on a case that was worth $1 million. She was never available. She ignored my case. And I had to settle for significantly less. And I think Tally actually took more than her 33% contingency that she was required by law to limited to take. If in that state, now that statement involves some subjective statements like Tally sucks. That's not actionable, right? It's not a factual statement. But all the other allegations about Tally being unfair, you know, taking more than her percentage fee, if it's false, it's false. That's defamatory, right? I mean, it's capable of being proven true or not true. So it doesn't get qualified. It doesn't get qualified as an opinion. In that case, somebody might call me and say, Rice, I know who this is. I want to send them a demand. In some cases, it's so bad, we have to litigate and either sue for damages or try to get an injunction. And I'll tell you, federal judges love the First Amendment. They give the First Amendment more credit than it's probably owed in these circumstances. It's really hard. It's a tough area to litigate. And I've got a flavor from being around the country in different courts, which jurisdictions go which way. It is not easy to get someone to stop saying something that is false about you.
Well, can you work with the platform where it's being said, say it's a Yelp review or on Instagram, to work with the platform to remove it? Like, what are the different angles? Because I assume these people that are doing these defamatory things have no means to pay the damages, more about getting them to stop.
Yeah, that's right. So in most cases, it's about getting them to stop. It's enjoining the party, right? It's interesting you mentioned the platform, because there's federal law, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, right? You guys have probably heard of it, that immunizes content platforms for user-generated content. So you can bang down, you know, the door of Mark Zuckerberg all you want and say, why aren't you doing anything? And his answer could simply be, it's not my problem, it's the user. And so we've had some luck with getting platforms to cooperate, and we'll point to their terms and say, hey, honor your terms. Abuse, you know, defamation, harassment is not allowed on your platform. Some cases we get cooperation. Some cases we don't. I mean, even with the judgment, you can't compel a third party. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, the thing about damages too, is if it's businesses, that's where, you know, the competitors posting fictitious reviews or stealing your internet traffic, right? You guys love to do internet marketing, content marketing. If you get competitors that come up, another personal injury lawyer down the street who just starts going on a campaign to steal your leads, spreading false information, we see that. And then we'll discover from litigation who it is. And it's not fun.
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot of copycat stuff going on. You know, I guess it's flattering, you know, a lot of people. I see some people doing exactly what Tally's doing on TikTok, other lawyers doing like the exact same thing.
I see it too. And I'm like, should I be flattered or annoyed? I'm like, I'll just take the flattered route. Okay.
Be flattered. Yeah. Mimicry is one of the best forms of flattery, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So we are running out of time here, but Tally, I want to just spend the few minutes we have left with you just to talk about your vision of mentoring the next generation, you know, and the plan of doing it and what your hopes are that it'll be able to be accomplished.
Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about it. I don't know what I want to do exactly, but I know I want to like make it a larger scale, maybe like create some kind of business with it or do something, but I do want to keep mentoring. I want to help because I see how beneficial it is for people and how much, especially in COVID times right now, where people are like, these kids are not being anywhere. They can't go talk to teachers in person. I mean, they don't really have any interaction. And this for them, like they recently reached out to me and like, the Saturday session is like the only thing I'm looking forward to this whole month, you know? And I'm just like, that's crazy that like, you know, during this time when they're supposed to be in school, having fun, you know, doing teen things or college things, they can't do any of that stuff. So I want to keep continuing on with this and hopefully create some kind of streamlined program in the future that, you know, can help them out.
How many other women entrepreneurs do you think that you have helped take that pivot, that next step to starting their own firms and investing in themselves?
A lot. I mean, women becoming firm owners, I think it's the future. I mean, I've been seeing it so much. I've met so many amazing women law firm owners just through social media, and I've become friends with them, and they're all an inspiration to me because I'm learning from them. You know, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to implement what they're doing. And so I like it. I think it should just continue, and I think it will continue because women are the future.
They are vital. And if we saw, I think it's Jurassic Park where they had all, it was all female dinosaurs, right? I forget. I thought that was the thing, right? But they still fought. They found a way to procreate, and it was like, oh no. Yeah, we started watching some weird Jurassic Park thing on Netflix, and it was supposed to be for kids, but then one of the kids got eaten by a pterodactyl. My daughter was freaking out. I asked my sister, I was like, what the F are you doing, man? This was not a show for a 3-year-old. Whatever. What can you do? Mental scars last forever, right? So, Rais, give us, I just want you to take us off on some of the best advice you can give lawyers like Tally that are very popular on social media that people are coming to you asking, hey, can you promote our products or can you do XYZ? What's the best piece of advice you can give us?
Yeah, number one thing is protect yourself and your brand. I mean, individuals are a brand today. You have a platform. You're going to get eyeballs. You're going to get endorsements deals. You're going to get compensation. But you're going to get a lot of bad attention. So the number one thing is protect yourself by putting in, you know, the legal protections and policing it. That's definitely the number one piece of advice.
All right. So everybody, thank you for tuning in this episode. I think it's going to be very popular. So reach out to me, robert@justiceteam.com or media@justiceteam.com. Give the information for the guests. You can hit them up directly. And I was not paid nor endorsed for anything that we talked about here today. However, Whistlepig, if you are listening, give me a call. I'm willing, ready, and able. And McAllen for Tally. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thanks.
Dear sir, madam, will you read my demand? Here are all the meds so you'll understand. You've got 30 days and not a minute more. Hope you blow this chance, cause I wanna be a policy opener. Policy opener. It's a tragic story of a TBI and an injured disc. Here's the MRI. We know that your limits are just 15K. Hope you blow